What's up? It's Tyler Sauer, the Mad Dog, and we're back again with another edition of Sox Talk. Today I am joined in studio in Massachusetts by
Dan O'Rourke,
and
as always,
Sox Talk today. Last podcast, we talked about Red Sox starters, and we shit on them a lot. Today, we will be shitting on the Red Sox relievers, some of them, most of them.
It could get gruesome today.
It could, because this is going to be a field day for the boys here in studio. All right, so the first guy we have, Tyler Thornburg.
Don't forget, we're going to be doing it in this. For those of you who listened to our last podcast, we're going to be grading we're going to be going around grading each of the relievers in the same fashion that we gave for the starters, and then we're going to give our reason why.
It could get ugly.
All right. So the first one,
but we're going to try to refrain ourselves from using derogatory terms as we did in last week's episode.
First person, Tyler Thornburg. His stats this year, 15 games, 13.1 innings pitched. Now, at his defense, he was injured a lot of the year. 13 Ks.
He's been hurt his whole Red Sox career.
We'll get to that. 13 Ks, 5 bases on balls, not an ideal ratio. And my personal favorite stat, a 4.73 ERA. Tyler Thornburg is 29, shows no signs of potential. He is god-awful. Dan, you're good.
What can I say? I'm going to start it off with a D-. I'm not going to lie. I just didn't want to give the first guy an F. but I don't really have anything positive to say. He doesn't pitch well. He doesn't get people out. I've hated him ever since they traded Travis Shaw to get him, because he hasn't pitched in all that time.
It looked like a good trade. He was in the All-Star game.
He hadn't pitched until earlier this year, and he just hasn't looked good at all. And I just with the problems at third base, the year Travis Shaw's having, hitting home runs,
aren't
he's over
the Brewers
20.
Smiling from
and,
ear to ear.
I just really don't like Tyler Thornburg.
I hate him. Also, I just want to add, I hate his personality. I hate his whole morale. I think he's just a really negative player. He does nothing for us.
All right, Hunter,
you can wait your turn.
Yeah,
but I'm going to give him a D+.
Ooh.
Only because, you see...
Do you have anything positive to say about the guy? Do you?
Without the injuries, he's a threat.
So 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we're
2 years
talking.
Ago, he'd be regarded as a top reliever in the game.
Okay.
One of them.
If he ever comes back from the injuries, which I don't think he will, but if he were to, I think he could get back up to that same level. But now that he's 29, I think he's destined for a failure. There's always that slim
chance.
Everybody has a
Koji moment.
That he comes back when he's 40. But
very optimistic.
I don't think it's
going to
happen.
Very optimistic outlook from Hunter.
F. He gets an F. He hasn't done anything for us this year. He's been god-awful. He loads the bases. He has no breaking. He's F. F's all around. You know, I have nothing positive to say about him.
I agree.
I mean, when you have a 13K to 5 base on ball ratio, I know that's a small sample.
Better than Palmer. It's,
I know, but I know it's a small sample.
We will get there.
I know it's a small sample, but still. The ratio, not too great. It's about 3-1.
I wouldn't be that worried about the ratio. More has his inability to get people out.
Then he loads the bases. He has a... He's bad.
All right.
Next up,
Thornburg's bad. We got it.
BDB, Big Dick Brazier. He has 15 games pitched, 16 innings, 15 Ks, 5 base on balls, and he posts a 1.13 ERA.
We don't know if he has a big dick, but we're assuming he does.
He's 30 years old.
He's only pitched.
May surprise people.
This is just
he's a guy that throws, high 90s. He has a legitimate breaking ball.
He's got that punch-out pitch.
For those of you asking where he came from, he's been a career minor leaguer for the most part. He's only pitched one other year. It was 5 years ago. He pitched for the Angels a couple times. This is just his second year in the majors, but, hey, he's having quite the year.
He's taking advantage, I think, of the opportunities because he's sort of looking at this situation like, hey, I blew my shot first, and I was put in a dark hole in the minor leagues for a long-ass time. I don't want that to happen again. So I think he's pitching for a contract, basically, and I think that's why he's pitching his brains out.
If
right?
So, he's pitching like this, he'll get one.
I mean, I'll start it off. I'm gonna give him an A-. I mean, he's had a couple rough outings, but just a couple. Other than that, he's been pretty much one of the only consistent arms in that pen. I don't have anything bad to say about the guy. He gets outs. He throws hard. He does what he needs to do. I wish he'd be used more because you got all the other guys that get, like, Hembree.
I think overuse is something that I think Cora really does worry about.
Yeah, but, I mean, Brazier doesn't really pitch that much. You got guys like Hembree who pitches every day, and then you got Brazier's in every couple games. But, yeah. I mean, I like the guy. 1.13 ERA, that's solid. Really good outing. A really good season.
I give him an A+.
Oh, okay.
Only because he's not an A plus.
Well, is he on Andrew Miller? Is he on Dylan Betances level?
I understand that an A plus is a high grade to give, but they don't have anyone else that's anywhere near an A plus.
No, but the A pluses of the league are the elites. They're the Andrew Miller.
We're talking about that personally. If you base it on expectations, he is an A plus.
I'm giving him an A plus based off of
we didn't even know the guy
off of expectations and the lineup that he's in currently. Because everyone else besides maybe Barnes and Kimbrel are cheeks.
He has a point. I mean, we didn't know anything. I didn't know the name prior to this year. I don't think you did either. And he's having a really good year. So I understand where Hunter's coming from. I didn't want to give him the A+.
There is that thing I think that adds sort of to why he gets higher grades is because you love the story of the guy coming from nowhere.
No,
I see where Hunter's coming from with the A+.
It makes sense.
And then, also, you still have like when he actually no never mind when he had his like when he came in for his first. I remember when he came back, like, what, he probably made his first debut about 2 months ago, probably?
Somewhere around there.
Well, he has, how many games has he pitched? 15 games.
15 games, so yeah, probably 2 months ago.
It was around the time Thornburg
I had liked him since the first time he pitched. First game he came in, I remember he struck out two, no one got on base, and then had a guy.
Like, who was this guy?
Yeah.
Had a guy ground out, and I was like, I don't know who this guy is.
I remember seeing a post about the Red Sox calling up this Ryan Brazier guy, and I was like,
And then he just continued to go. He continued to roll, and everyone else was like, I don't know who he is. There's no way he's
actually
this good. And then I was like, I like him. I feel like he's going to be a good player. He throws in the high 90s. He's got that punch-out pitch that everyone's looking for.
He's a legit MLB reliever. He's a strong reliever. 1-1-3 ERA. He can hang, man.
No joke.
B plus, simply because the fact I need to see a little bit more out of him. I need to see a little bit more innings pitched out of him. But so far up to here, he's done everything that this team has asked for him. They put him in a lot of sticky situations.
They brought him with the bases loaded.
A lot of bases loaded, two outs. A lot of bases loaded, one out. So I think he, with pressure, pitches very well. And I think come postseason, I think that would be very valuable. And this guy, he's cold blooded, and he gets. I think the reason that he comes in sticky situations is because he's really the only one that's able to strike people out in this bullpen, maybe except Barnes and Kimbrel. He's just a really valuable asset for Cora to have out of that bullpen. And just, I look at it this way. Look at, without Brazier, look at this Red Sox bullpen. I mean, you're really struggling when you have a bullpen like that without Brazier. And Brazier has just been such a pleasant surprise, and I'm really just happy that we got him, and he's really good. All right, next guy.
I have a question just to bring it up for it, or just a question, food for thought, really. Do you think come playoff time he could be their setup man that they're looking for, that eighth inning guy that is the bridge to Kimbrel?
See, that's Barnes, the ideal situation.
That's where Barnes,
Brazier, Kimbrel, or do you think
you can't count
Brazier
on
before Barnes?
I think they're interchangeable because they have very similar stuff.
Say they get their starter to go six innings. What's the order after?
Barnes, Brazier, Kimbrel, every time.
What?
I think that would be a good.
Just because I think of experience, I'd put Barnes.
Barnes in the eighth.
Yeah.
So Brazier,
Barnes. I mean, but you look at it for the postseason.
Do you think that's the combo though? Do you think that's what Cora goes to?
Yeah, I do.
I think that would be the
best. I think if Brazier keeps it up.
Yeah, true.
But I think Matt Barnes has solidified himself enough to where if he has a slit, I still think they'll go to him.
All right, we'll go to Barnes. We'll get to Barnes later. Who is next?
Who is next?
I don't remember.
Joe Kelly.
Oh, Joe Kelly, right. Broadway Joe. Listen to these. Let these knock you off your feet. 54 games, 50.1 innings pitched, 50 Ks, 22 bases on balls, 4.29 ERA. My lord. Joe Kelly, you're he's 30 years old.
I'm going to start it off. I'm just going to give him an F. It's got to be done. It's at this point, he hasn't gotten any better. He hasn't had an outing where he hasn't given up a run.
Breaking ball is non-existent.
Earlier in the year, he was locked
at the beginning of the year, everyone was so high on him.
He lost the first game of the year.
I mean, so what, the first game? He was in the first month or two, his ERA was like 1. He was pitching every day. He was Kimbrel's setup man. It was everything was
he's
so
just
good.
Not mentally
he was striking people out. He was getting everybody out, and now he gives up a run every outing.
Remember
he came into that game last night against the Phillies in a tie game. It's like, oh, what? Why did Cora do that?
Well, I think another thing is just not mentally tough enough. A relief pitcher.
That's what it
he's
is.
He's a lot like David Price.
But the
problem, anything will get to him.
But watching that game, they brought in who did they bring in to pinch hit for
Mookie?
No, for Palmer. Not Palmer. No, it was to pinch hit for Pomeranz. Or was
Mookie.
It Pomeranz? Because Kelly came in earlier in the.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. They brought in someone. It might have been Nunez actually. Brought in someone to pinch hit for the pitcher at the time. And they had Kelly warming in the pen, so it's like, you know Kelly's coming in. Uh-oh. Like, you had to know he was coming in a tie ball game.
I mean, when...
And, like, I had the fear. I'm like, you know he's going to give up the
when
run.
When you see Joe Kelly jogging in from the bullpen, you might as well just load the bases.
And he got the loss. He gave up one run and got the loss for the night. And it was like, well, I mean, what were you expecting? It's just so disappointing. I like the guy. I don't like him as a player. He can't play. He just has to... not play anymore. It's simple as that, but they don't have any... They don't have an arm
you look
to replace
at it.
Him. They simply don't have a guy that they can put in for him.
You look at the trade 5 years ago when they traded for Joe Kelly. They gave John Lackey and I think one more minor league affiliate, minor league player. You look at it now, we could still have John Lackey who has a sub 3.5 ERA. So, I mean, you look at the trade, another busted trade, but that was Charrington at the time, so I'm not going to blame Dombrowski on that one. Hunter, what is your grade for Broadway Joe?
I'm going to give Joe Kelly a D-. Only because he was up at a day, A-plus range in the beginning of the year. And
he really
he
was.
Since
it's
gone
just disappointing.
Downhill.
He
is going down faster than a brick
in water. Yes, he was at the very beginning of the year, and it's just too bad. All right, what about
F-minus,
you,
the famous F-minus is coming out again. F-minus for Joe Kelly. I mean, when you have a guy coming out of your bullpen...
By the way, John Lackey's ERA is a 5.6, so,
yeah,
or a 4.6.
He's not having a good year.
Okay, anyway.
Better than Kelly's,
but he,
better
to
Kelly's.
His own, he is 38.
Yeah, he's old. Could have had 5 more years of Lackey.
Another thing...
I don't even know if Lackey was involved in that trade.
Yeah, he was, I remember.
You sure?
Yeah, because it was right after the 2013 season, and Charrington wanted to, reload.
All right. Yeah, they really relocated.
They reloaded 2 years at the bottom of the division. Anyways, Joe Kelly, the reason I bring out the famous F-minus is because whenever you're putting a reliever should not be losing you baseball games.
Right.
And that's what Joe Kelly's doing.
John Lackey for Joe Kelly and Alan Craig.
Was
a bum.
Trade.
Go on.
Ben Charrington.
But go on.
The GOAT.
Go on with your Joe Kelly berating.
Joe Kelly, he throws 100 in his defense, but at any, you can throw 110, but if you can't keep batters on their toes with a respectable changeup and a respectable breaking ball, then they're going to bounce you all around the yard. I don't care how hard you throw. He doesn't have major league stuff, and
Joe
that concerns
Kelly was
me.
Stud when they got him.
He
pitched in the World Series.
He was on that team. And the year that they traded him, he was 9-3 with a 2.28 ERA.
That's
as a starter.
Well, I mean, at the time, looked like a pretty good trade, I bet. Did it not?
I mean, it did at the time, but it's.
And we were getting Alan Craig too, a legitimate bat. At the time,
horrendous.
It was legitimate, I think.
Horrendous.
All right, moving.
Red Sox, Alan Craig in the series against the Red Sox in the World Series hit .375.
Hey.
Yeah, well.
And he came to the Red Sox and hit JBJ
and
went the defense.
Went to Pawtucket.
All right. Heath Hembree's next. Oh my, 29 years old. He's pitched 51 games. 49.3 innings pitched. 64 Ks. 23 bases on balls. 3.86 ERA. Here's something I want to point out though, and I know it's a lot to do with how he's used an opportunity. But I don't love when your games is higher than your innings pitched. I mean, that's just something I think. I'm not really basing that off a lot of metrics, but...
I mean, the other day he only came in for a third of an inning, to be fair. He came in with the bases were loaded. He came in, got the out. I mean, when he has little things like that, like, I don't fault him for that. Like, I remember that outing. I mean, I was curious as to why Cora didn't bring Henry back in the next inning. He opted to go with the fresh arm.
Yeah, that was just something I was curious
in. But that's the reason. It's because the way Cora uses his pitchers, sometimes he just wants him to finish an inning and then goes to the next guy. So, I mean, I don't fault him for that as much. And
so, what do you give
him? Going to my grade, I'm going to give him a C. I used to be very critical of Henry. At the beginning of the year, he was very, very troubled. Couldn't really get guys out. Now he's one of their more, as weird as it is, consistent pitchers. I mean, he gets put in with the bases loaded a lot. You can't knock the guy for giving up a run or two if he inherits the bases loaded. But, I mean, as of late, he's been better. So, I mean,
it's pretty easy to come back from, to get better from where he was.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he's definitely been better. He's looked better. He hasn't really gotten shelled in the last week or so of outings. He pitches pretty much every game, so...
I mean, he's a reliable arm.
He's capable.
I don't always cringe like when Joe Kelly's walking in.
What'd you give him?
I gave him a C. Average.
I'm going to give him a C+. I think he's been better as of late. I think he's a reliable arm to come in for two innings.
So he's average at best.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely more than average.
He's definitely average.
I'm not saying
he's more than average.
And he's not below average, though. That's
definitely not below average. He's
your standard MLB reliever.
He really is.
He's not the guy that you want to
be. He's the common man.
He's the guy you bring in if your pitcher goes three innings and your good reliever goes two. You need him to pitch that one or two innings to get to your closer.
To his credit, he clearly has balls because he's been put in the most bases loaded situations of the reliever.
Every time Henry comes up, I just keep thinking of that Shane Robinson at bat against the Yankees when he kept pitching at his head.
Yeah.
But I mean,
that was not a good at bat.
He walked him.
That was not a good at bat.
I mean, however, it doesn't. I like Kelly doing. So I mean, I like Henry doing.
So what's your grade?
I give him a D+. I just think he's.
You are the bad news.
Well, he's slightly below average. He posts 3.386 ERA is not great.
But it's been going down.
Typically, he lets base runners on.
He really hasn't, though. That's the thing.
He doesn't have a great changeup. I like his breaking ball, but he doesn't have a great changeup. But I think just one thing I want to get to really quickly is these. It's underrated how hard it is to be a relief pitcher because starters, they choose who their catcher is typically. Relief pitchers, they don't. So if someone coming out of the bullpen likes Vasquez catching them, they might have Swihart or Leon. You never know. That's just something that I think.
See, Vasquez is hurt. Swihart's also hurt. So they don't really have an option.
Also, some news. Swihart was activated yesterday. He's back.
So that's...
That's good.
Dan
Blake Swihart's coming back.
All right, but the reason I give Henry a D+ is because...
better. It would give him a deeper bench, more option. He was hitting well before.
He's not great.
10-game hit streak.
He's not great. He's not terrible.
Swihart?
No.
Or Henry?
Henry. He's not great. He's not terrible. He falls right in the middle, and I think he's a little bit on the lower side just because he's not legit. Typically, he has a stretch where he'll go on good outings. But then, you know, he'll be a little rocky and get back on a good stretch. He's just not consistent enough like a lot of these relievers are.
All right, who's next?
The next guy we're going to get to, one of my personal favorite relievers, Matt Barnes. 51 games, 52 innings pitched, 51 Ks, 26 bases on balls, 2.60 ERA. He's 28 years old. I think he's the setup man. I think he's the bullpen setup man. He was a borderline all-star this year. I like Matt Barnes.
I'm gonna give him a B-, and it's because while you guys, I know you guys like him, Hunter not as much anymore. He used to. He would always tell me that Barnes is the best arm in their pen, which
I think it's
still might be true. I think
I would
prefer Brazier over Barnes still. He's capable.
I trust Barnes more than Brazier.
I just feel as though Barnes gives up a run every time
right now,
he comes out.
You trust him more than Brazier, right?
I do. Lately, I think that Barnes has been giving up a run every start. He is the cause for them to have to bring in Kimbrel every once in a while because he gives up that run that creates a save situation. He's all right. He doesn't really get flustered. He just gives up a run right here. I don't like it.
I think a guy with as talented as stuff that he has, he's bound to pitch great.
I just think he could pitch better. I just think he throws 99.
He has a legitimate breaking ball. He has a changeup that will get you on your front foot.
But every once in a while he has control issues, and when he gets out there and he has control
that
issues,
that comes with throwing 99.
You gotta control it though. You can't walk guys very often.
Matt Barnes is not Chris.
What's your grade?
Matt Barnes?
For Barnes, yeah.
B. He's average. I think he's a little above average, especially in this bullpen.
Compared to what they said, I think he's one of the three best arms in the bullpen. Don't get me wrong. I just think he could be better. I'm a little disappointed. I think he was better at the beginning of the year than he was now.
You can say that with a lot of guys. You can say it with a lot of guys that they were better early on. Joe Kelly, Heath Hembree, Matt Barnes, Craig
Kimbrel.
I think Hembree has been better now. I like that.
What makes you say that?
He's pitched a lot better.
I honestly don't remember him pitching that terrible any time in the season
he's like average.
At the beginning of the year, he wasn't that good.
Common man.
His ERA has been going down.
The Red Sox big problem is inconsistency.
Oh yeah, big time. What's your grade?
I think B+, because he's the only legit setup man I think they have. Brazier maybe.
I think that's the first time Tyler's had the higher grade than.
He just lost Barnes.
I like.
He really does.
Well, because I like his stuff, and when you have a guy that throws, you know, the cheese that he throws, he's bound to pitch great when you need him to pitch great, and I think come the postseason he's going to really be really reliable asset. He'll be a really reliable asset for Cora to go to.
Hopefully.
And I think, I just think that he's...
In a dream scenario, you got starting pitchers going seven, giving
six.
Up one or two.
I'd say six.
Or six. And then you have Barnes...
Seven would be nice.
If you have six, then you have Brazier come in, hopefully throw a no earned runs. And you got Barnes coming in the eighth. And then you got Kimbrel. That's the dream scenario.
It really is.
But you don't always get that out of your starters, and you don't always get that out of your closers.
Next is... Oh, my.
Their new arm.
Drew Pomeranz, 29. He has 3 bullpen appearances, and during that span...
There is no letter low enough.
A 6
I'm not,
three,
I'm not,
four,
I'm not gonna mince words.
ERA, 2.5 record.
Don't even bother with the stats. He's made 3 bullpen appearances. He's been good in one of them. He went 2 innings without
giving
up. Are
you pulling
out
the famous F-?
I have to give the F-. For any of you guys who were watching that game last night, it was truly terrible. For those of you who have listened before, Tyler made the point that Drew Pomeranz does not have a punch-out pitch, and that it couldn't be any
he
more
has,
evident.
He has that knuckle curve.
It couldn't have been any more evident in that game last night, because he had a guy down. The first batter he faced, he had him 1-2, and he couldn't get the guy out. He couldn't get the ball by him. The guy fouled off about 3-4 pitches the rest of that bat, and he ended up walking him. Ended up walking him, and then he walked another guy, maybe gave up a hit, and then he gave up that bomb by Wilson Ramos, which only proves the point that I had brought up around the trade deadline, where I wanted them to get an offensive catcher like Wilson Ramos, because you can just look at him and look at the impact that guy can have on a game. He went 3-for-4 last night.
He's 2-for-4 tonight with a double and a single.
Yes, he's 2-for-4 tonight with a double and a single for the Phillies. He went 3-for-4 in the last night, and that was his first game as a Philly. He had a triple, a double, and a single. He had like 3 RBIs on that one play. Pomeranz gave up 3. He was awful. Didn't get the loss because Joe Kelly gave up the losing run. But Pomeranz is awful. I'm giving him the F-. He can't strike guys out. He walks guys, a lot of them. And he can't be trusted in the bullpen. Honestly, I know that releasing him would cause huge cap implications.
They have a lot of dead money.
But what else can you do? You can't send him down because it's tested in his contract. You can't send him down. Do you keep him? I say no. I say
just
you can't do it. You're just going to hold on to him? Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I'm just going to let him pitch. I know, I saw that. We're going to get to that.
We will get to that at the end of the...
Wow. Hunter, your turn on Drew Pomeranz.
Awful. Awful. If you guys say anything higher than an F, it's unbearable.
F -.
I don't think you need any explanation on that one.
He doesn't.
I think I kind of gave the explanation.
He
really doesn't have a punch-out pitch. And then he'll get guys down 1-2, and then he'll end up walking them. He'll throw 3 balls.
Here's my grade. You guys are going to be very surprised with grade, but I give him a D-.
How the hell are you giving him a D-?
Not because of the way he pitched, but because of the way he's going to pitch.
Oh, wow.
What does that mean?
I want him released. I do not want him to pitch ever again.
Listen to this point.
I do not want him to pitch ever again for this team.
Listen to this point. Listen to this point.
What makes you think that he's going to pitch any better? You're the one who talks about the...
Listen to this. He is the only lefty in the Red Sox bullpen. When they need a lefty on the mound, because they need the match, they need the lefty on the
mound. He's not good. He's not good.
When Cora needs a lefty in a situation, he's going to have a lefty. That's why he's important.
Oh, man.
That's the only reason why he's...
How good is a pitcher that can't get people out? I could go out there.
But he's a lefty, so it doesn't matter.
I wouldn't get anybody out, but it'd be the same.
He's a lefty.
Oh, my God.
The lefty's...
If he wasn't a lefty, I would send him as far away as I could. What is the difference
between a righty that can't pitch and a lefty that can't pitch?
A righty that can pitch and a lefty that can't. Who do you want in your pen? You want the righty that can.
Well, there's more righties than there are lefties.
Pomeranz can't get anybody
If they need a left-handed arm in the pen.
You're in the eighth inning.
Yes.
Aaron Judge and Stanton are coming up. You say you think you want a lefty. You think it might go Pomeranz, but at the same time, you could go Hembry. You're gonna go Pomeranz over Hembry
because
I'm
it's a lefty.
It's outrageous.
That. I'm not saying that.
What pitcher are you gonna pitch Pomeranz over?
If they need one out, say bases loaded, two outs.
I am not putting Pomeranz.
And there's a lefty up there. Bases loaded and two outs. Pomeranz is not going on my mound. Okay,
watch your mouth,
because he's a lefty.
This doesn't make any sense.
D minus is what I'm giving him.
He is an F.
It's not because of how he's pitching. He's gonna pitch good. You told him that he was an F. Everything is gonna be okay, Drew. You're a lefty.
Oh my God, if Drew Pomeranz...
Do you want a lefty in the bullpen?
If it's Drew Pomeranz.
What?
Get someone from Pawtucket.
He has a chance. Not Pomeranz. Last year, he had a career high wins. He had 17 wins last year.
I don't care.
He's a lefty. You get him out of the pen, you need a lefty in your bullpen. No, but do you agree with me? Do you need a lefty in your bullpen?
If you have straight righties, you do not need Drew Pomeranz. It's bad if you have straight righties sitting in the bench going,
all right, we can't start this guy because Drew Pomeranz is in the pen. There's no one saying that. They go, oh, yeah, he can't play.
No, but that's a matchup scenario that you need.
If you throw Drew Pomeranz on the mound, you know what the other team's going to be thinking? Oh, this guy's not striking me out. No chance.
I think if he's pitching against a lefty... And he is a lefty. He has a hell of a lot better chance of getting that guy out than Heath Hembry does.
Nope.
He's so bad.
No, it doesn't matter.
I'm done with this conversation.
He's a lefty.
He's terrible.
You and I both know he's terrible.
He's a lefty. He deserves a better grade than Joe Kelly. Just because he's a lefty.
The grade has nothing to do with the way he has been pitching. It's the way he's gonna pitch. I believe in Drew Pomeranz.
Terrible.
You think he's picking it up?
He's a lefty. Historically, he's pitched good out of the bullpen.
Way too much time on a far below average pitcher.
Historically, he's pitched good out of the bullpen.
He's a starter. What are you talking about? He has never pitched out of the bullpen.
Look up the stats. 2 years ago, right? On the Padres?
No, he was a starter on the Padres.
Can I get a fact check on that?
He was a starter. He was a all-star starter on the Padres when they got him.
It's unbelievable how he was an all-star, though.
Yeah, no kidding. He's awful. Next.
For all of you Sox Talk fans, please feel free to let us know your feelings on Drew Pomeranz, as we all have mixed feelings, mostly because of Tyler's sudden...
If you don't think Drew Pomeranz sucks, you're wrong. Next.
Okay. Quickly, before we get to the next reliever, we're going to do today's Sox Talk question of the day. And it's going to fit with the theme we're rolling with right now. Who is, after Craig Kimbrel, the most reliable arm in the bullpen? You can email me at tylersauer53@gmail.com, or you can text me at 508-431-3403. Once again, who do you think is the most reliable relief pitcher in the Red Sox bullpen after Craig Kimbrel?
I think at this point it's between Brazier and Barnes.
And I would even listen to about Hembry.
Let the fans decide once again. It's gotta be one of those three.
I don't think anyone's saying Pomeranz or Kelly.
The way he's gonna pitch. Anyways, once again, you can text your answers or you can email me your answers to me. You can text me at 508 508- 431-3403, or you can email me at TylerSorrow53@gmail.com.
That is TylerSorrow53@gmail.com.
Thank you, Hunter.
All
right. Who's our next reliever? Follow going back to the reliever talk.
Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson. We already talked about
3.95 ERA, 70 Ks, 25 base on balls. That's starter stats, right?
That's total,
combined.
That's total.
He is 27. I like Brian Johnson.
He's made 8 starts.
I find it crazy how Brian Johnson is younger than Ryan Brazier.
Yes, that is crazy. But so he Brian Johnson, we talked about him as a starter. We're also going to talk about him as a reliever now because ultimately he is a bullpen arm. And for his career, he's been a bullpen arm. He's had a really good year as a starter. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to have to give him. He came out of the bullpen the other day, through 1 inning. No runs. It's become kind of an expectation for him to give up no runs. So I'm gonna give him a B. I mean, he's been a high quality starter or a bullpen arm all year. He does what he gets asked of him. His ERA
I don't cringe like I do when I see Kelly walking.
I'm gonna give him a B. He's an average, slightly above average arm, and he can be one of those guys. He can be a solid long reliever if a starter gets in trouble.
Yeah, as of right now, he's a starter though.
Yeah, but
I think come playoff time he's gonna be a very valuable.
Rodriguez is coming back, so someone's gonna.
I heard that he's coming back sooner than later.
Yeah, he should be coming back in the next week or so.
I'm worried that Eduardo will come back.
I think he'll be rusty. I think he will be rusty. I hope he comes back in the next week or so, he'll have about 3 starts prior to the playoffs.
Quick episode changeup. Do you guys want to add a segment about Eduardo to the end of this episode?
Talking about
Eduardo? Eduardo and what are your expectations on him?
We can do that. We can do that right now.
Yeah, no, because I want to get through these guys. Right.
But Brian Johnson, I'm going to give him a B. How about you?
Brian Johnson.
We're talking bullpen Brian Johnson.
I haven't seen him in the bullpen in quite some time now because of the injuries.
He pitched 1 inning the other day.
He's become a kind of a.
He can be an extended reliever, and he can be a starter when you need him.
Yeah, I
gotta give him a B+. I mean, he's done nothing wrong. He's done above what the expectations were, and you don't really expect anything more out of him. You might even be expecting something less, but he's giving you more.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy...
In his last start, he went 7, gave up 5, but they won the game 10-5, so, yeah. Hey.
He went 7.
He rested the bullpen. He gave up on 3 runs.
I give him a B- because I think he's a really valuable asset for Cora to have because...
He's like a Brock Holt of the pitching staff.
You have a guy who can go, you know, if a starter gets in trouble come playoff time, we saw it a lot last year. He can go 3 innings and he can pitch you relatively good baseball. And for a guy who doesn't throw in the high 90s,
he has good stuff.
I mean, his fastball, he likes to paint the outside corner a lot like David Price. He has a respectable changeup. His breaking ball is legit.
I don't mind him.
B- because I think he's slightly above average. I think he's a very good surprise this year for the Red Sox, and I think his first game he pitched for us was a 1-hit complete game. So I mean,
really,
yeah. I think he's.
I don't know if it was 1-hit, but he had a. I remember he had a really.
His
I don't
first
know,
start.
I don't know if it was his first start, but it was one. He made a start last year where he threw.
Last year,
a complete game.
All right,
very few hits.
So next pitcher is Hector Velasquez. He's 29, 7-0, which is pretty damn good.
He's going right under the radar.
2.77 ERA, 6.1.
He's basically been like a
61.2 innings pitched, 36 Ks, 17 base on balls.
A little too many balls.
He throws.
It's only 17.
I mean,
yeah, but
it's about a two to one.
He's undefeated.
He is undefeated. He doesn't lose them games, which is. All you can really ask for
is not winning them games, but he's been a fill-in guy
in the rotation. He pitches well when he does it, and I mean, I'm gonna give him a B also because our B minus. I'll give him a B minus, but. You said the ERA. It's a 2.77. It is a pretty small sample size. He's been hurt, so he hasn't really played. But he's back now. He's a reliable arm out of the bullpen. He's a good long reliever. He's really the only long reliever that they have.
Very
similar
to Johnson.
He really is.
I think they're almost identical, the way they pitch.
What do you think? Like, Hector Velasquez, I haven't seen a whole lot of him this year, but yeah, I haven't seen him recently.
But the numbers don't lie. If you just look at the numbers.
I'll give him a B. Again, you don't rely on your relievers to win you games. You're not going to ask a reliever to come in. We need you to get...
Especially Hector Velasquez.
Well, it's not even that. I mean,
you can't knock him. Those numbers are legit. He's had a good season.
A reliever's job is to come in and get to the closer. His job is not to go more than one inning and strike out everyone he sees. Their job is to get through that inning.
He's reliable.
He is. That's all you can really ask for.
In some ways, a reliever's job can change. Because if you're up 6-0, your job is to not let up any more than 4 runs. But if you're up 2-1, your job's to come in and not let a run.
He's pitched in 35 games. He's thrown 61 and 2/3 innings, and his ERA is 2.77, and he's undefeated. Hey,
not bad. I'm gonna.
Didn't
give
he start
him...
a couple games?
Yeah, 4. He started 4.
Started 4.
And he didn't lose.
I'm gonna give him a C, because he's right average. I don't think he's as good as Johnson. He's not terrible, but he's not as good as Johnson. 4 starts, undefeated. You can't ignore that.
They both don't throw very hard.
You can't ignore the ERA at 2.77. Very respectable, I think, on Hector Velasquez. And another, I think, very good asset for Alex Cora to use if they need a relief pitcher to go more than one inning.
Yes.
Potentially go 3 innings. And I think that's, you know, a sort of another dimension Velasquez adds. You know, I'm not gonna knock him and say, oh, he did this, he did that. Because the bottom line is he's not losing us games.
Yep.
And if, you know, the people that we're really hard on here... Are the relievers that are losing
that are
games.
Losing them
the
games,
Pomeranzes, Kelly, Thornburg? Those are the guys we're hard on because it's not the reliever's job is not, I don't think, to win nor lose games.
It's to give the bats a chance to win the game.
Yeah, they're a bridge from the starter
or
to the closer.
Or it's to protect the lead that the starters were played well enough to give you.
And you so look at these guys like Johnson,
your
like
job
Velasquez.
Is to supplement the starters and help the closer.
Yeah,
it's
very simple.
And relief pitching, I think, is very underrated. How good you have to have of relief pitching to
the command
to really
be
successful.
Insane.
And
you gotta have great command.
But I think another.
Moving up.
People say that you can't win without a great bullpen, though, and
you can win.
The Astros
it would require a strong showing from your starters and really good production.
Which
from
I think the Red Sox have a pretty good combo.
They could do.
I think right. Sale,
so,
you know, those guys.
Moving on to their
the
most
final guy, the most important bullpen arm is the closer, Craig Kimbrel.
Who has struggled as of recent.
He has
He's
struggled.
30 years old. He has 50 games pitched, 50 innings pitched. That's impressive, I think.
Considering he comes in the ninth.
Well, sometimes he pitches two. He's had a few two-inning saves.
He's had a couple 4-inning saves as well.
Two-inning.
I mean...
4-inning saves?
Four out. Oh, 4 out. That's what I meant. One and a third.
He has a 2.52 ERA, considering he only pitches 1 inning every time he pitches isn't terrible. Considering ERA is at a 9 innings. He has 36 saves, which is 2nd in the AL. Maybe 2nd in the bigs.
Fact check that.
76 Ks, which is really good for 50 innings pitched. 76 Ks. That's roughly 2 Ks an inning. I think it's about 1.5. 23 base on balls, which is a little bit high, but not terrible. And
he's gotten a lot of those lately, though.
A guy with the resume of Craig Kimbrel, he'll come out of it. And the final stat I want to get to, 4 blown saves, but 2 have come recently after the All-Star break.
Second in the bigs in saves.
So, I mean, he's...
He's just been a little... I don't know if it's been like a... Tired.
I'm not gonna trash him. I'm not gonna shit on Craig Kimbrel because he's
no. I'm gonna give him an A minus, and it's because he's just not.
I think we're sort of spoiled with him.
Yes, I would agree.
From what he's come to expect.
That like in a game where when he comes in, it's like you just think it's over, and then when it isn't. 2013. With Kimbrel, like, you just expect the game to be over, and then when it's not, it's like, damn, what the hell is he doing? But
it's crazy.
You ultimately got to expect or hope that, like, come playoff time, he's locked down. I really don't have any fears that he won't be. Like, I think he just needs some rest. Just give him a periodic rest. And, hey, like, he doesn't have to pitch every game. But,
no, but I do think when you rest him too much, he does come back rusty.
That's true. So, A-. I think he'll be fine.
I think in blowouts, maybe... When the Red Sox are blowing out opponents, maybe Cora should mix Kimbrel in the mix.
Maybe.
Like, not in a close situation.
What do you think, Hunter? What's your grade? I mean, you can't really What's your grade? It's
Kimbrel. I gotta give him an A. That's Kimbrel. There's not much to say. He comes in, gets the job done. I mean, he's been struggling a little bit as of recently, which is the only reason he's not at the A+. But
he's the best bullpen.
He's easily the most reliable
all-star
pitcher
this year. He's been everything.
We're not gonna get carried away.
A minus for Craig Kimbrel for me. Once again, just because of as of recent, he sort of struggled. He's faltering. But he's not terrible. He's going to come back. He's going to pitch like Craig Kimbrel before the All-Star break. But he's been, ever since we got this guy from the Padres, he's been everything that we've imagined. He's come in and, you know.
What'd they give up for him?
It was definitely prospects. It might have been actually Will Middlebrooks, or was he a free agent?
It might have been Will Middlebrooks. I'll look it up real quick.
But anyways, just while they're looking that up, I think Craig Kimbrel, he's top five closer in the league, so I can't knock him and say C- just because he's been sort of frustrating over these past couple
But I mean, as have the Red Sox.
The Red Sox have been a little frustrating. I mean, just...
No, they're just coming off five
just,
in a row.
Basically,
we're spoiled.
Yeah, we are. Just move. Like, they're having
your
a
team
really
has 85 wins.
86. 86
wins
and 36.
35 games
so going
left.
On, so, just moving on to our recap of the series, this past one, in the past couple days.
They gave,
the, Philly
the Red Sox gave the Padres.
This is for Craig Kimbrel.
Yes. Manuel Margot.
So, press.
Javier Guerrero.
I like him.
Carlos Asuaje.
Never heard of him.
And left-hander Logan Allen.
So, just a bunch of prospects.
Only Asuaje and Margot have made it as high as AA. Yeah. So this is a great trade.
I mean, yeah, I think it's Dombrowski's second best trade after the Chris Sale trade.
Yes, I liked the Chris Sale trade. All,
and I still do. You
also,
look at
I think they gave up a like one. I think
Kopech
I, like,
and Makata.
No, they gave up like one more piece after that. And people,
Makata has
people
not
think,
been.
I don't really.
Makata leads
the
AL in strikeouts.
I don't really remember what the that last piece was, but people thought that they could have gotten the trade done.
I'm not saying that 21-year-old Yoan Moncada is gonna, you know, is gonna be. Is going to be trash in the MLB just because he leads the AL in strikeouts.
But it's Chris Sale. Chris Sale's one of the best starters.
You
got
to give something to get something. That's the cliche that GMs always use.
You have to give something. You have to give as much as possible. Because
I don't mind.
They were looking to move Chris Sale, and if he hadn't made that trade.
Why? Because he went all scissor fingers happy on the jerseys.
I mean, they got
he didn't like the jersey, so he cut him up with scissors.
They got Chris Sale. You can't knock that trade. It was a good one.
They were too tight on me, so I cut them.
So, moving on to we're going to give a quick recap on
Philly's
our
review.
Thoughts on the Philly series. Obviously, game one.
2-1.
Rick Porcello. He came back. He bounced back from that series. He's been inconsistent, but...
I mean, I think it sort of was... Bittersweet, I guess you could call it.
Bittersweet. It was a 2-1 victory.
No.
Was awesome.
And
Brock Holt.
No, in my view of Porcello, because it's sweet that he had a good outing, but it's bitter because it proves my point of how inconsistent
he is. Horribly
inconsistent. But Red Sox are inconsistent.
But he's not. He wasn't bad. So he like it's not. He's consistently bad.
I'm happy.
It's better to be good and bad like than just bad.
In a night where the Red Sox bats
see, Drew Pomeranz is consistently bad. So, yeah. You don't like that consistency.
In a night where the Red Sox bats were, you could say, off. I mean, Sandy got a home run.
Sandy and Brock Holt.
You know, the fact that you were lying.
They had six hits. But just a little thing. The Porcello, he gave up. I think he gave up one hit, and it was... Oh, I can check that. He gave up two hits.
And he got a hit.
He gave up two hits, got a hit of his own. And then the bullpen came in, Hembree, Kimbrel, neither one gave up a hit. Kimbrel walked one. Obviously, he walked the first batter he faced, but then he got the rest of them out. So that's a solid outing from Porcello and then the pen.
That's ideal.
It is. That was a great outing.
A team who's so top-heavy at the Red Sox are relying on Mookie, Benintendi, JD.
See, that was a great outing.
Every once in a while, you need those bottom players to come in and make up for where the top
so that outing was
Sandy,
good.
Sandy
however,
Leon with the rake. I just want to get to this point real quick about Sandy. I think Sandy's a top five catcher in the
AL. I think he's the most
underrated
player in the MLB.
Whoa!
He might be.
There
in
is,
the
MLB.
There is.
In
the MLB, that's
no,
a little
well, well, you look at catchers.
He's the lowest
catcher's
ERA. Every single pitcher.
You have to give him credit for that.
Every single pitcher.
The pitchers love him.
The pitchers love throwing
a Sandy Leon.
And he is reliable.
He's a very smart guy.
We're not going to say.
He doesn't have a cannon, but he's a smart guy. I remember the zero out spaces loaded jam.
He himself got
it. Yeah, he made that play.
He did the
whole
inning himself.
So love Sandy Leon. He's great defensively. All the pitchers love him. But we talked to him. So we talked about that first Phillies game, which was great. Couldn't have asked for anything better. Maybe a little bit more with the bats. But that second game yesterday, horrendous. Absolutely terrible. I don't know what happened. Mookie didn't play.
Well, he
came in and pinched hit in the eighth, and then Benintendi got out with the bases loaded. Great clutch. That was huge.
Benny. Freaking. Benny for All-Star.
Oh, my God.
Vote Benny. Benny, everybody.
See, when they went up 3-0.
I had to deal with two weeks of the Red Sox filling my Instagram feed with Vote Benny.
After Moreland got that hit to drive in three runs, I thought game over. There's no reason why the Red Sox shouldn't be able to hold the Phillies to under three runs. Boy, was I wrong. Eovaldi got into trouble. They brought in Joe Kelly, who, ew.
Yeah, but we've...
They
we've,
brought in Joe Kelly in a tie ball game.
Joe Kelly Fight Club.
I don't know why they would do that. They brought
order your shirts today. Joe Kelly Fight Club, everybody.
They brought in Joe Kelly in
hop
a tie
on,
game.
Hop
gives
on
up
his wee-wee.
Gives up a run, and that's when the offense ended. They went up 4-3. They brought in Pomeranz. He was awful. Absolutely terrible. Gave up three more runs.
Everyone loves the Joe Kelly Fight Club.
Went 7-3. They found one more. The Red Sox found one more run to bring it 7-4. Benintendi really needed that hit. Couldn't get it. 7-4.
Everybody loves the Joe Kelly Fight Club.
We talked about the Phillies before this series. They're just not a good team. Especially when Nola and Arrieta don't pitch.
See the game ahead today?
Arrieta's been average
there's
at best.
There's no reason. Oh, yeah. And unrelated news, or kind of related news. The
Phillies
got
blown out 24-4. By the Mets.
We're gonna
by
get.
The Mets.
We're actually when we get to other league news, we're gonna get to the Mets.
DeGrom
what,
was not pitching either.
And what they've been
doing. It was not
DeGrom.
They still lost to the Mets 24-4.
DeGrom has a sub-2 ERA and he has a losing record.
We already
record.
Talked about this.
All right.
Next up, Eduardo Rodriguez. We said we were gonna get to him.
Well, we're gonna do like.
What are your expectations for the comeback?
I am kind of worried.
Same. I'm terrified.
I mean, if you think about it, back to that year where he was like 10-0.
Whenever he comes off injury,
he was having a very strong year. Got hurt. He was bad the rest of the year. I feel like this could be a thing that happens this year. Really hope it's not. Hope he gets a couple starts.
I mean, you look at
it.
If he didn't get injured, we're smooth sailing, man.
If he comes back and he pitches bad and it's like two starts before the playoffs, do you pitch him in the playoffs? I don't think you do.
I do.
I don't know. I really love him. Hunter, what do you think?
If he comes back and pitches
very poorly in his two starts.
How poor?
Like, he only goes four innings and gets roughed up and gives up, like, three runs in both starts. If he gets into trouble early in both starts and what if he's not getting people out? What if he has
if
trouble with
control?
If
his velocity's down, his control is bad, I think you just shut him down for the rest of the
season. That's what I'm saying. I just fear that's a possibility.
From what I heard about the simulation, the Red Sox were very happy with it, and that's why he's coming back sooner than expected.
I want to be optimistic. Like, I would love for him to come back.
His history just doesn't say that he can.
It's just an injury thing. Like,
if the velocity's there, I think
you can't expect guys to just come back and continue pitching. Like, he was pitching. He was having one of his best years of his career. He was the Red Sox second-best pitcher. He was up there with Chris Sale, really. He was one of the guys. Like, there were some people that were saying, because Chris Sale went on a little rough patch and Eduardo kept pitching well and people were saying, hey, Eduardo might be their best pitcher right now. And at the time, it kind of was, but he got hurt.
Chris Sale.
I'm not even too worried about
Chris
Sale. But
transformed into Mega
but
Man.
You can't help but think that Eduardo Rodriguez coming in and out of an injury, it's going to be very hard for him to replicate his success from the early
season. I mean, it just really does scare me because I think we need him.
We really do. We need a second dominant arm. Because you never know. You don't know what you're going to get with David Price. You don't know what you're going to get with Rick Porcello.
I think Porcello's going to have a big postseason.
I really hope he does. He's capable. It's just going to be his
he game. Has a stuff.
Are you going to get the good Porcello or are you going to get the bad Porcello? Really 50-50. It's literally 50%.
Something he's got to work on. Mental toughness. Another point I want to get to, Rays preview. I'm just gonna rattle this off real quick because we're getting up there in time. Johnson, Price, and Sale are the starters lined up. Rays have been playing really good baseball.
Really should win all three, though. I mean, how can you not? It's the Rays. They're not that good.
That's that. Is it at the Trop? No, it's back at Fenway. Road trip's over. In other league news, the New York Mets, one of the bottom feeders of the league, get this metric. They scored 40 runs in the last two games. That's impressive. That's really impressive for a bottom-feeding team teams that rake, we love them. Other league news. Yankees losers. Yankees lost again today. So
they
the
lost
Red Sox
6-1 yesterday.
Got a half
3-1. Yeah, they went.
Get this.
Up a half
get this.
Game.
They're
up 10 and a half. They're up 10.5.
Get this.
So that's a season high
the
for the
A's,
Red Sox.
The A's are 2 games back of the Astros.
Yeah, watch out. Watch out. Don't look
the
down.
A's
the A's
are
coming.
Chris Davis is a legit bat.
So is Sean Manaea in the
Matt Chapman.
For the arms.
Watch out for Matt Chapman. He
Lowry.
I forget who exactly said it, but someone said that he is the that Matt Chapman is the best third baseman that he's ever played with, and whoever the player was,
Lowry.
I don't remember who it was, but he has played with Nolan Arenado.
Get this,
who
Lowry
I think is the best player in baseball.
You look at them on paper,
baseman, but he thinks that Matt Chapman is that legit.
You look at them on paper, they're legit. Lowry, I mean, you got Davis. I mean,
all
Amanaya.
Of the A's also have the best bullpen. Of the American League contenders.
They're legit.
Scary.
Strange thought.
Also,
all I'm saying,
the Yankees are not too far ahead of the,
They're, The Yankees are 3 games above the A's and 5.5 games above the Mariners.
So
let's say
I'm not trying to shit on the Yankees right now.
They're not playing great baseball.
Aaron Boone's a bad manager.
The Yankees are not out of the woods. There's a chance that they go on a cold stretch and the A's and Mariners pull ahead of them.
So
also,
I don't think Aaron Boone's a great manager.
I don't think
he has the clubhouse.
So Hunter, what were you saying?
I was saying let's say the Astros continue to be the Astros, but the A's continue their wicked hot stretch.
However, get this: the Astros are 4-6 in their last 10, while the A's are 7-3. The A's are playing the Astros in a 3-game series.
And the Astros'
this
pitching
weekend
is looking very bad.
Their whole team is looking very bad. They are not looking good.
You have to respect them.
If the A's pass the Astros, and the Mariners pass the Yankees, the Astros play the Yankees in the wild card.
No, it wouldn't be the Mariners.
This is what's great about baseball. If the Yankees stay ahead in the wild card, 2 days ago,
it looked like the Astros because then it would be Yankees at the first wild card,
and the Astros
at the second. So if the A's somehow manage to pass the Astros, which is not looking impossible. If the A's sweep this series or win 2 out of 3, they're tied. It would be they'd have to win 2 to tie, and then it would be the deciding game. So if they win 2 out of 3, they're a game behind. So if the Astros continue their slide and the A's finish the year strong, there is a chance that the Yankees and Astros meet in the wild card, and the Red Sox will play the winner. And if say the Astros get knocked out by the Yankees, the Red Sox can beat the Yankees.
What would the pitching matchup be in that game?
It has to be Verlander Tanaka because Severino's look brutal.
The rematch of the ALCS.
So say the Yankees
Tanaka just lost.
He did just lose. But say the Yankees somehow knock off the Astros and the Red Sox play the Yankees. If the Red Sox get past the Yankees, it's the Indians or the A's, which. Did either of those teams really?
I'm scared of the A's.
I'm not scared because experience and pitching. I think their starting pitching, I don't think, is good enough to compete with the rest of the top.
But imagine that. Imagine if the Yankees and Astros play each other. One of them's getting knocked off.
I think this is what's great about baseball is that you look at it 2 weeks ago, it looked like clear cut. There were 4 legit teams in the AL, but now all of a sudden there's 6. Contenders all fighting for that spot. Really, the Red Sox, I think, are the only one that's clear cut at the top.
The landscape
has completely changed.
All I'm saying is, just a few weeks ago, it looked like the Red Sox were going to have to play the Yankees in the divisional round. If they somehow got past the Yankees, which I think they could, but you never know. And then they'd have to play the Astros. But in this scenario, one of those teams is gone.
All right, other league news. Dan, do you want to hit anything on Matt Carpenter? I know you like to talk about him.
I'm all right on Matt Carpenter.
6 out of 7 games, he went deep. Something funny about that is he said, "I've never done this in my career, and I can't explain it."
I feel like I can explain it, but typically
when you're doing something right, you can. You say, "I changed something in my swing." That does sound a little fishy when he says, I can't explain it, and I'm not going to like to bar guys with PEDs.
I hear you, but I'm just saying he's never had that kind of power in his
career. You love this take.
It's just a thought. It's just a thought.
He's pretty good.
But you have to question where this sudden power surge has come from. If he figured something out, he wouldn't say that he's not.
Matt Carpenter is a career 15-20 home run hitter.
That's what I'm saying. And now he's up to 33.
He's probably up to 30 in the last week.
Exactly.
Two weeks.
No, probably not 2 weeks, but probably a month. maybe a month, and he is now up to 33 home runs with 30 games to go. Dude could hit 50 home runs on this pace.
Something I'm
outrageous.
Can you look this up real
outrageous.
Quick? I should have
That's
done
all
before.
I'm saying.
Can you look this up real quick? Is James Paxton hurt?
I think
he is because they reactivated the Mariners we're talking about here. They reactivated Hernandez.
He's on the DL with a forearm bruise.
That's a bummer. He's one of the best pitchers in the league.
So, I mean,
he was paid,
a bruise,
placed
that's
on the 10-day disabled list yesterday.
That's nothing major, but that's something to look at because he's a legit ace. He's their ace. If they play the wild card, that's who's going to be on the bump. The Canadian AA. You know what it is out here. James Paxton, Canadian. But, I mean, that's just something to watch. Maybe if something lingers, that could be an issue for them. Hernandez was reactivated from the bullpen after spending a lonely day in there.
Don't forget Jose Urania.
Yes.
Arena.
That is going to be our final point today.
I actually have one more.
Jose Urania versus Ronald Acuña.
Just quickly before that, the Puig fallout.
Two games suspension?
Puig got suspended 2 games for his altercation with Hudley.
Dude, I wish the Giants were good.
I just don't understand that.
So that
Puig, clearly Puig just is still very immature. He hasn't matured at all.
And that,
like,
the bat
has
makes
he,
up for
has
it.
Has he never heard
the
trash talk before?
For
he should have hit a home run on that pitch. The catcher let him know it, and he turns around and
Another
gets
thing,
in a shoving match with the guy. You gotta be kidding me.
I wish that the Giants were good this year because that would give the rivalry a little bit more integrity, and that's one of my, after the Red Sox Yankees, obviously, I think that's the best rivalry in baseball.
So, Jose Urania.
Jose Urania and Ronald Acuña.
I think it's just a soft,
This story disgusts me.
I just don't like the 6 games.
This story disgusts me because it's an unwritten rule that you're not supposed to throw above his hip if you're trying to hit a guy. Urania got 6 games for it, and I think the most disgusting thing about it, about this story is after Urania hit Acuña, he nailed him, he was yelling at him in Spanish, "Does it hurt? Does it hurt? Does it hurt?" He repeatedly said that as Acuña was wincing in pain on the ground. That's disgusting. That's not sportsmanship. That's not baseball. That's not sports. That's childish. That's foolish. He got a 6-game suspension.
I think it's a soft 6-game suspension.
I just don't necessarily agree with the 6-game suspension.
There's been multiple times where Mookie Betts
he was ejected from the game, right?
Was
it random? All right, so he's ejected from the game. I think that's all.
He's never thrown a faster opening pitch in his career.
He was trying to throw at him. But that's baseball. I mean, Mookie gets thrown at every single game.
It's to send a message and say to your bullpen,
no,
I got your
Was that an effective message? He blasted the guy. I think that's pretty effective. That's too far.
Do you remember when Mookie Betts hit that grand slam against the Blue Jays?
That was awesome.
His leadoff at bat, the next game, ball hit straight at his head.
He had to duck.
That's what happened. Acuña homered in
five
straight games.
If that had hit, if that
hit, he let off the home run.
No, but if a guy's out there having fun, why does that justify Urania throwing at him?
I mean, it happens in baseball every once in a
while.
Why, though? Throw at him.
These unwritten rules are so stupid.
I don't know why it happens.
The unwritten rules of baseball are the most bullshit thing in the world.
They make no sense. I don't know why he did it.
The players
think
they're above
everything. I feel like 6 games is outrageous. I just think that's a lot of games. I do. I think that's a lot of games.
No.
6 games
if your intention
is
to hurt,
or 6 games.
6 games.
If your intent, yes, starts.
Which, so, he misses one start. He's going to miss one start, but...
No,
still ridiculous.
Maybe
6 games.
Gray
he can,
area
he,
there.
He can't be in the dugout for six.
Yeah,
games.
Six starts would be a little harsh. That's the rest of the season. Basically.
No, he can't be in the bullpen or dugout for 6 starts.
I think he can't be
anywhere near the clubhouse.
I just think the unwritten rules of baseball are the stupidest things. The stupidest thing, and for a guy to be having fun, to be hitting as much homers as Acuña was hitting. I just think it's a little bit disgusting.
Is he hurt or is he fine?
X-rays were negative. He's day-to-day.
As Michael Scott would say, we're going to fight this Ronald because Michael Scott thinks negative is bad on the X-ray. So anyways, guys, thank you for tuning into Sox Talk.
No Patriots updates for today?
No Patriots updates
currently
today.
Currently, the Patriots
let us,
are up 34-20. They have the ball on the Philadelphia 19.
Let us know if you want Patriots updates. You know where to email me or DM me. Or text me. Anyways, that's going to be it for Sox Talk in studio. I'm Tyler Sorrow, the Mad Dog, here with...
I'm Dan O'Rourke.
I'm Hunter Sorrow.
And thanks
for listening
to Sox Talk.
It was a bit of a long episode, but I feel like we got
thanks
a lot
for tuning in.
Relievers field day.
Yeah. Hey. I work hard every motherfucking day. The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.